Paradise Lost ga ut en knallskive I fjor, så jeg letet frem et intervju jeg trodde jeg hadde gjort. Jeg heter Helle Stenklund, det her Jernverket. Men du, før intervjuet det noe jeg må si. For det gratis å lage Jernverket, så hvis du vil støtte produksjonen av programmet, det helt genialt om du vil donere et par slanter. Det går an å trekke et fast beløp hver måned via patreon.com/jernverket, eller gi en enkeltsum via VIPS nummer 567438. Informasjon og lenkene står I episodebeskrivelser, og beløpet selvsagt valgfritt. Bidraget går rett til jernverket. Tusen takk for alt hittil. Jeg takknemlig for hver eneste kron. Jeg synes det var litt rart, for jeg bruker å huske på alle intervjuene jeg har gjort. Men så dukket det opp et med Paradise Lost fra 2009 I arkivet. Jeg tenkte nå at, ja, husk ikke på det, men vi kan jo sende det lær, det jo gammelt, men siden Obsidian-platemmers ble kåret til fjorårets fjerde beste av jernverkelytterne, så det jo litt aktuelt lær. I 2009 så spilte Paradise Lost på Inferno, og på den tiden hadde jeg et program som het Hammartid på Studentradioen. Jeg samarbeidde mye med nettsidene Eternal Terror og Imhotep, og vi pleide å dele intervjuene oss imellom og låne stoff. Så det altså en Paul Kearns fra Imhotep som snakker med Nick Holmes fra Paradise Lost. Det ikke rart at jeg hadde glemt det. Jeg satt jo bare I bakgrunnen.
And the fact that the Paradise Lost are headlining tonight, it's kind of shows how things have changed in the last 10 years from host to in Requiem. So are you going to, do you think it's going to be anything different between your approach tonight and a regular show?
If I would, we're using our new drummer for the first time.
Adrian Erlandson, right?
Yeah. So beyond that, hopefully not, you know, and that means it'll go smoothly.
Smoothly, yeah, well, we hope so anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about playing heavier songs, but I mean, we're not a black metal band, so it can only get so heavy, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think, if you talk about playing heavier songs, the last couple of albums have been, I think, been hailed by a lot of people as being not necessarily a return to your roots as such, but just it's become heavier, but incorporated the later stuff as well. So with something like In Requiem, which was your first album for Central Media, have you noticed a change? And the work of the label as opposed to before?
Yeah, as in respect that if you make a more of a metal album, then it's instantly easier for a metal label to market. Mm. If you make a metal album or that isn't metal and you're aiming at a different sort of people and you're working with people that don't know how to market it, then you're going to find problems. And I think it's the same with when all bands sign to major labels. A lot of times there's people there that don't really know where to market. But obviously, very much like Music for Nations was for us years ago. It was dedicated to that style of music and therefore very, very good at marketing it and dealing with it, you know.
Yeah, so see, I suppose what you're saying is that the deal with EMI, it was, in hindsight, do you think it was a bad move?
I don't know really. I mean, we had a pretty good time on EMI. I mean, we had plenty of drinks and things, but I don't know really. It's hard to say because, I mean, our music changed so much anyway, so you can't necessarily, you know, switch... change everything was so kind of dramatic it would be hard for any label to deal with and, it was so hard for us to deal with so I don't know really it's hard to say but I definitely think obviously you know since Marine is a dedicated metal label and they are superb at dealing with metal so you know I mean they can give you ideas for whatever and 9 times out of 10 you will agree what they say you know whereas maybe some other people say what the fuck are you talking about you know
I wondered, you hear about bands who signed to major labels through time, especially metal bands.
It never works.
It never works, no. It doesn't seem so. A lot of times I mention the fact that...
nobody learns either. They still do it.
Well, that's part of being metal, isn't it, I suppose?
We saw Bayer having the bands, and we didn't learn either. We still did. But they offer you nice carrots, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so you did it for, like, you know, for the free drinks and the chocolates.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, right. Was it a case that the personnel at the label were changing more frequently than at a smaller label? Because that's one thing that's been mentioned many times in the past, that you don't really get to establish much of a relationship on a personal level.
Yeah, and also I think, you know, a lot of time on Central Media, for example, there's people that are actually in the music that they're representing as well, you know, whereas perhaps on a major, there's just somebody who just happens to be given this band to work with, and it's not necessarily his chosen style of music. I mean, but we've met a lot of nice people that annoy our genre of music.
Yeah.
But ultimately, if you're dealing with it, it helps.
Yeah.
If someone understands what they're dealing with, you know.
Do you think an album like Host could have? Do you think a Music for Nations could have handled it well?
No, I don't know. It's hard to say, isn't it? I mean, it was more than 10 years ago now. So I was just saying today we still talk about it all the time, and it was so long ago. But I don't know. It's hard to say.
I think it's a bit of a lost classic, you know. So I was always.
Well, I still think it's a good album, you know. I absolutely don't shy away from. I mean, I think it's a great record, but it's not a metal album. That's the whole thing. Here, really.
And of course, you know, if you have a metal fan base, they can be not the most broad-minded people sometimes. So it is.
Well, I'm including that. I mean, especially when I was younger, hated anything that didn't have guitars. So.
But now, especially the last three albums from Symbol of Life and Chase the Gun, things have become steadily kind of. It looks like your profile has risen quite a lot, and you're still one of the few bands around from, you know, let's say like the early to mid '90s boom that are able to tour quite successfully, and include places like Scandinavia and also America. You've done two American tours since 2003 with Opeth and then Nightwish. And previous to that, I've been like just one tour in '93.
Done your homework, haven't you?
I've been studying for a while. Yeah, yeah. I'm getting bashful now. Yeah, yeah.
He's learned. Very confident.
But was that something conscious for you to go for the American market? I mean, obviously, because I heard you say before that the experience in '93 wasn't the most pleasant.
No, I mean it wasn't, because we weren't used to going away from home for that long, and going to America is I mean, you know, they might speak English, but you feel far away from home, really,
okay, yeah.
If you're not used to going there. And I mean, now, ironically, now it's not. It's great. I love it, America. I actually love visiting there. But at that time, we were quite young, and we kind of didn't really understand it, how things worked. And
right.
Plus, we were all like very vegetarian, and that, no one had even heard of that in America at that time. And you couldn't eat anything, so therefore you were in a shitty mood constantly.
So that tour. I mean, if I remember correctly, as well, you did that tour and. The show that you filmed in the Longhorn in Stuttgart, was that directly after that tour, more or less?
I can't remember.
Okay.
I can't remember. I just lost lots of weight. That's all I remember.
Oh, it suited you. It suited you then,
thank
yeah.
You,
yeah.
Thank you, sir.
No problem.
Da han hørte hvilke ord som kom ut av munnen hennes, hoppet hjertet hans over et slag, og et sug I magen fikk han til å legge ned McFrysen han var på vei til å spise. For han så på henne at hun mente det hun sa. Men han spurte likevel om hun var sikker, og hun nikket unnskyldende. Men egentlig så hun ikke trist ut I det hele tatt, men letta. Og da hun gikk ut av restauranten, tenkte han på hva han skulle ønske han hadde sagt. Og det sånne ting som gjør at folk sitter her og gråter noen ganger. Men sånn livet. Og McDonald's bare en liten del av det, tross alt.
So now you put out a long form DVD through Central Media again, which is I suppose it's similar to the one the name's escaped my mind, Evolve.
Yeah.
And is that to indicate that it's a chapter is closed and there's another one?
It was like 20 years, so it was as good enough time as any to do it really. And you know, we were sort of around the time of the new album sort of coming out, the new studio album. So yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, live albums, if they're good albums, they're always worth releasing if you've got some good material to release, you know, to keep things going over till, you know, you do another studio album, you know. But you just got to keep going, you've got to keep pumping it out. You know?
Yeah, and you've just completed a new album, right?
Yeah.
In Sweden, so you had a Swedish session drummer on that, you've got a new Swedish drummer now.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something in that, I don't know. But so you're...
There's some good drummers in Sweden.
Yeah, there must be, yeah. You're happy, obviously you're happy, and you probably would say you were if you weren't. I'm just joking. The album, any big difference from In Requiem?
It's a lot heavier.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. It's. I think people would be surprised at how heavy it actually is at times.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly not a death metal album, but it's as heavy as, you know, anything I can think of as being heavy. It's very, very metal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's going to be released when? I haven't actually heard.
September.
September, okay.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when you release this new album, is something like the States going to be a primary focus?
I don't know. I mean, you tend to go where you know, if you're asked to go somewhere, but if you know that people want to see you, then you go. I mean, it's not like You can keep trying to break somewhere, but unless there's a demand, then I don't really see the point, really. No, I mean, we'd love to spend more time in America. It's I don't know, really. We'll see what happens, you know. It's never... In the past, sort of the mid-90s, we could have had more chance in America, which we didn't. We just concentrated on Europe a lot more. And that's probably cost us a lot now, because we're pretty much unknown quantity in the States to a certain degree, yeah. So, I mean, this time, especially with, like, Nightwish, there was a lot more, a surprising amount of interest in certain areas of America, which was quite nice to see. So, it'd be nice to go over and do a tour, you know. But
headlining, or what would you be looking for?
Either, as long as we're not in a transit van, I don't care.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I can understand that. with the Nightwish show, were they pulling in big crowds? I mean,
Yeah, there was like 3,000 a night, most nights, I would imagine.
Okay.
There was some big audiences. Like Canada was particularly memorable for that.
Yeah, okay, I've heard that Montreal is quite good.
Yeah, it was huge, yeah.
Yeah. And so basically from tonight, is this kind of like just a one-off show to kind of... to break the monotony, or do you plan to do like any festivals, or is it going to be kind of until the album comes out, then you're going to lay low and then...
No, we're doing odd sort of festivals here and there. I mean, it's, you know, it's a good opportunity to do some shows with Adrian, like get him, break him in, you know, to the PL Live thing and we're not doing any new songs because it's far too early as far as we're concerned. Plus, okay, once you play it live, it's like releasing it.
That's a very good point as well.
Yeah, so you may as well release it as play it live, which is just, you know, that's the way it is now. But we'll do a few sort of festivals and things, and then we'll see around the September, and we'll probably start doing a lot more stuff. You know.
How did Adrian end up becoming the one for the
band? He was playing in Bruchera, and Jeff Walker said he's looking for a drummer, and he kind of got in touch and he auditioned. And I mean, after the third song, I kind of knew that.
Yeah, that he was a man.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was a shame. With Jeff Singer, he seemed to be, to me, to fit in very, very well with the band, but it was just down to, I suppose, family life, that kind of...
I mean, he just got to a point where, I don't know, his kids are very young, you know, we were away for a hell of a lot that year in particular, so I think he felt like he was missing out on his children going up to a certain degree.
So you had actually forgiven him for the pink drum kit back in before the Coney times,
we still mention it, obviously, till the end, right to the very end.
And so with him in the band, one thing I was kind of curious about was that when he came on board, it seemed to be a while before he actually got more or less announced as an actual member as opposed to a session guy. So
he still is a member if you look on MySpace.
So things are moving slow in this world, you know.
I didn't even mention that, but I need to sort that out, actually. I don't know, really. It's obviously when you introduce someone new into something that's existed for a long time, it takes time before
I can understand that.
You don't know if they're going to be a psychopath or not. You don't know if they're going to have drug problems, or you just don't know anything until you've been with him a few months, you know. So.
And Adrian, is it the same? Is he actually accepted into the fold as a full member?
So far so good. I mean, we haven't even done one show yet, but I mean, he's a lovely guy, and you know, hopefully, he's the same age, similar interests. So hopefully, you know, he's going to be good.
It's good as well, considering that the band has been around for a little over 20 years now, and apart from the drummer situation, it's been the same members all along.
Yeah.
It's very unusual to have such stability.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's a healthy dose of cynicism and humour are incredibly important, I think. And if you take yourself seriously, you're already lost, as far as I'm concerned, especially in this business.
Yeah, so maybe it's kind of the down-to-earth approach.
Self-deprecation.
That helps, does it?
Oh, yeah. I don't think, if you can't, you know, if people take the piss out of you, you've got to find what's wrong with you first before they do it.
Yeah.
And then I think it's the secret of success.
Is it a case that with your crew and if you're touring for a long time, do things like that tend to get
we haven't got any crew.
Oh, really? Alright, yeah. DIY, do it yourself.
We have one or two. Actually, one of our main guys is not available at the moment for this, so if anything goes wrong, you know it's because he's not here.
Okay.
What was the question again?
That's a very good question. Have you had any problems with, for example, with Jeff coming in, when you were also well established together, or let's say, if Adrian's coming in now and he's coming to a group of guys together for 10 years?
No, not really, because I don't think anyone's really got an ego or anything. No one's, everyone's pretty easy to get along with, you know. Most people I've met who have been doing this a long time are usually really nice people. I mean, I'm speaking like very old, you know, bands. For example, Judas Priest are lovely guys. Yeah. And I've also met a lot of young guys who are starting out who got big very quickly who are absolute assholes. So, I mean, I think the longer you do it, the more you kind of think, well, you know, there's no need to be such a dick.
You know? A bit of that. So, I mean, if you talk about getting quite big quite fast, I mean, when Draconian Times came out, you were like...
I was a dick then.
You were? I was going to ask, you were, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like, completely, yeah.
You can look back and admit it now. You're not a dick now?
No, I'm all right now.
Are you sure?
I think so.
All right, yeah.
Talk to him after 7 pints of Stella Artois. Could be different.
Or if you can get 7 points of Stella Artois in town here...
You could afford Stella pints of anything in this country. Yeah.
You must be getting a big fee tonight. You're planning buying 7 pints of Stella.
7 pints of fruit juice would be hard to pay for.
Okay, and so I reckon that's about it for now.
40 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Have you got a message for all the, you know, the black metal kids out there who aren't too familiar with Paradise Lost? Do you think you're going to convert them all tonight?
Well, if they haven't decided to go home because it's pretty late, and you know you played the last. Is it the second day of 2 days?
Third day of 4 days.
Oh, so there's another day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I thought we were the last night. In which case, you've had it really, because everyone just goes halfway through your set.
No, I mean, different with you guys, obviously.
Right. Well, I don't know. I've been in that position where people walk out as you're playing many times because it's like everyone's been pissed for 3 days and had enough. They won't get out of there. But if it's the third, that's good. Three out of four, that's not bad.
Yeah, 3 out of 4. So, I think it's perfect.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, you know, go to the bar. You know.
Yeah, if you can afford it.
If you can afford it.
Yeah.
And if you do, get me one and bring it to the stage and I'll totally drink it, thank you.
Stella Artois.
Yeah. Well, you won't get that, but...
Yeah, or bring this, yeah.
Yeah, bring this.
Yeah. Okay.
Just one question from the boss.
Yeah.
About the re-release of Gothic and the words on that one, did you have any impact on that one?
My impact on that was I wrote a little thing for the at the recording of the album, which was quite humorous. And it's pretty much, you know, one of those, let's re-release Gothic. We're re-releasing Gothic, are we? Oh, right, okay.
But it wasn't actually DVD, I think.
There was a DVD.
Yeah.
I'd never got sent a copy. I don't know. Still got vinyl in my cellar. But
yeah, see, I don't know. I had the red vinyl myself. I did not have it in CD, so I have to thank you for that.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why it was re-released, actually, wasn't it? For
Yeah, cheers.
All right. Do you want to pause?
Yes, perfect.
So informed. Oh. So informed.
Hey, at last, could you please make a jingle for my radio show?
Okay.
Because I'm probably
this
going
is a package.
To
get this on. We have on two websites. We are cooperating, and then she on the radio. So you don't have to say the same three times. It's only once.
It's called Hammartid or Hammer Time, if that's more easy to.
Hammartid.
Hammartid. Yeah.
Hammartid. T or tid.
Tid.
Tid. Hammartid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hi, this is Nick from Paradise Lost, and you're listening to Hammartid.
Du har hørt et intervju med Nick Holmes fra Paradise Lost. Og likte du det, kan du for eksempel høre episoden med My Dying Bride. Jeg hadde egentlig planlagt en del nye intervjuer fremover, men korona har bestemt at det ikke går an, så da blir det Elixir i stand. Og her intervjuet aldri sendt, bare gitt ut som tekst.
Then when June the gig, I wanted to go to the toilet.
And a big drum solo. So.
Didn't have much time to do anything.
Yeah, the radio.
Get straight on stage. Yeah. So I said to Nigel,
Hvis du ikke gjør det allerede, abonner på Jernverket podcast via podcast-app eller gå inn på jernverket.com. Fortell alle du kjenner om podden og legg gjerne igjen en god anmeldelse der du hører på den. Og vil du bidra med noen kroner for at jeg skal kunne fortsette, kan du gi støtte via Patreon eller Vips. Se info I episodebeskrivelser. Og husk på å følge Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook for konkurranser, diskusjoner og musikalske tips. Akkurat nå kan du vinne skiva og merch fra både Dark Essence og Katakomben. Helle Stenkløv, det meg. Kjører på med nytt eller gammelt hardrock-intervju hver fredag. Vi høres!